This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, a final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. State of the Union last night, tariff stuff, Russia, Ukraine. We're bringing home terrorists from Afghanistan. There's all kinds of stuff to talk about, but we're going to do something rare. And at the Chris, is this kind of the top of the hour or the bottom? This is the top of the hour. I'm still learning all the radio lingo. We're having a guest on at the top of the hour. And I don't even think I even need to introduce Brandon Darby anymore. Breitbart, Cartel, Chronicles. Normally I bring Brandon on to make us all a lot smarter when it comes to the border and the cartels and things like that. But tonight, actually the main purpose is so he can gloat. I just want him to be able to do a lot of gloating. Hey, Brandon, what are you happy about right now?
I'm gloating. I'm gloating. That's what I'm doing. Absolutely. 100%. I'm on a border trip. It feels great to tour the border. Let's see how many sectors we saw this time. We saw Del Rio, Big Bend, El Paso, Tucson sectors. That's our tour this time. We're just wrapping it up, which is why I'll even say where I am. And I'm just excited, man. I'm excited by the fact that our country, our government is finally taking transnational criminal organizations seriously. I'm excited for all the victims. I'm excited for everyone in a community who's controlled by these jerks. I'm excited for every family member that's had to go through the pain of having someone who struggles with addiction die because they accidentally got fentanyl in their drugs because of these jerks in Mexico. I'm excited for every Border Patrol agent family who's been slain to finally see this happening. I'm very excited for a lot of things, buddy.
I am excited for you. I'm obviously mainly excited for the country, but I know how long you've been at this, how hard you've worked, the risks you've taken to try to expose these people. And it has to be completely refreshing to see someone focus on the issue like this. Have we had a president in recent memory, including the first Trump presidency, focus this much on the cartels?
No, we haven't. So behind the scenes, the first time that the Trump administration talked about going to war on Mexican cartels was Stephen Miller on a radio interview with me. He was courting the National Border Patrol Council. They had endorsed Ted Cruz in the primary, right? And he was courting them, and he said such amazingly beautiful things about the Border Patrol Council and agents having a direct line to the president, not having to go through the political filters of CBP and what have you, that they ended up changing their endorsing Donald Trump. But the first time they talked about it was on a radio interview with me, and I just threw it in there, and I was like, you promised to also go to war with the Mexican cartels? And they're like, we do promise. And so the first time around, I was actually very critical because they didn't. They went to war with MS-13, and I wrote an article that was very critical saying, hey, they promised to go to war with Mexican cartels, and instead they're going after MS-13, and hoping most Americans don't realize there's a difference. And I was very critical. So this time around, this guy gets in office and does the things that he's done. He's declaring them as foreign terrorist organizations. It takes it out of a matter of the DEA dealing with him, and it puts it, to JSOC, into the Joint Special Operations Command. Like it puts it in the And I mean, the fact that this is occurring is mind blowing. And then Mexico did something unprecedented, and they gave us not 29, but they gave us 29 people, 28 of them, very significant cartel people who they handed over, cartel leaders and former leaders who were wanted for 40 years. Mexico handed them over trying to avoid tariffs. And then Trump stuck with it. And he's like, wait a minute, like there are still active cartel bosses It's great that you gave us these regional bosses. It's great that you gave us Carl Quintero, who killed DEA agent special agent Kiki Camarena. It's great. That's awesome. But what about these current major bosses who are currently in bed with your presidential administration? You're not letting us get them. So no, you're still getting tariffs. And I could not, I think it might have been a little more fair to say now it's 20% instead of 25 because you did this. They probably should have toned it down a bit. But the fact that they're not falling for, they're not looking for an easy out to say, okay, Mexico did something. It's obviously not about politics, because if it were about politics, they have all the cover in the world now to say, okay, Mexico did it, we've won. But they didn't. They're sticking to it, and they're actually holding Mexico's feet to the fire. And I am so proud of what is what our government is doing about cartels right now. I can't even describe it.
Yeah, I've never heard you this happy and animated in my life. It does my heart well. Speaking with Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles. Okay, let's nail down on some of the nitty gritty, Brandon, because a lot of people don't. Well, nobody really understands it like you do, but people are confused by the issue anyway. Well, okay, we end up with 29 of these cartel guys. So Mexico just what? Had them the whole time? Were all these guys sitting there in prison? Were they at a hacienda somewhere? How did they just have them to hand them to us?
Well, okay, so they were all in prison, but they gave us the leadership of Los Zetas. They call it CDN, but it's really Los Zetas. Make no mistake, they just tried to rebrand themselves. But these two guys were actually running Los Zetas CDN behind the scenes. They were running it, these two brothers, Z40 and Z42, the fact that they gave them to us is a very big deal, but they were running it from prison in Mexico where, how often they left that prison and did whatever, who knows, but they were running it. So that's great that they gave us a major cartel that threatens the U.S., that is regional, that doesn't have a lot of national power in Mexico. That's great that they did that. Carl Quintero, he killed, what started all this in the first place. There was one cartel in Mexico, really, one big one. It was called the Guadalajara cartel. And it was this guy who was one of the leaders, and a DEA agent, was really after him. So he had the DEA agent kidnapped. He tortured him, had medical personnel on standby there so he could keep him alive to torture him more. He recorded it all as a threat to the U.S., and the U.S. was like, hell no. So when the U.S. cracked down on him, then he... all the western part of Mexico, the cartel, they basically divvied it up among family members and became multiple different cartels, right? And so the fact that they gave him to us is great. The fact that they protected him for 40 years, the fact that Kiki Camarena, G-agent Kiki Camarena's loved ones, had to wait 40 freaking years for justice for the person who tortured their loved one is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. So why, but it's not just about Mexico, right? This is not just me having disdain for Mexico or the Mexican government for protecting him, but what about all of the political leaders we've had in the U.S. for the last 40 years that let Mexico get away with this? Why did it take till 2025 for a president to go, you know what, you'll give him to us? Oh, we will destroy your economy. We will get them ourselves. Okay. Give them to us or we're taking military action. And they finally handed them over. That's all it took. And our leaders for 40 years let this go.
Okay, so I guess answer that question you just asked, because it's on my mind, Brandon, even if you have to just hypothesize, why? Because it is insane. You would like to think a DEA agent dies, whether it's fast or horrible and slow, that the full fury of the United States government would come down on everyone responsible. It didn't happen here for 40 years, and apparently it was as easy as Trump getting elected and making it happen. Why?
Well, okay, that's interesting. So why is, because for 40 years, we have had a State Department, right? We have had a president who allowed it, and we have had a State Department that constantly told U.S. law enforcement and the U.S. intelligence community, sometimes they're the same with some organizations, constantly told them, you need to balance your law enforcement and intelligence priorities with the State Department's diplomatic concerns. That's what they have done. And so what has happened now is now this president is empowering U.S. law enforcement and the U.S. intelligence community to tell the State Department that their the State Department's priority, diplomatic priorities, need to be balanced with, you know, come secondary to U.S. law enforcement and U.S. intelligence concerns. So the State Department's diplomatic priorities are not the priority anymore. What takes the onus is our law enforcement and our intelligence community and our military. That's what's taking the onus. And so that's where the decision-making is resting. And that is why. I mean, we can look back, and I'm not trying to tie in another issue, but just look at what Hamas did, okay, to Israel on October 7th. There were U.S. citizens kidnapped being held hostage. Was that the focal point of the Biden administration? No. No. They tried to downplay the fact that they were U.S. citizens, you know? And so to have a president is like, I like how Israel does things. We're going to do it that way. You kill an American anywhere, you hurt an American, doesn't matter who you are, we're going to get you. If the government, the country you're living in doesn't help us, we'll do it anyways. That's what we should do, I think, as a country.
Yep.
And I'm proud of that. But that's why we didn't have a leader like this. We had leaders who were concerned with the status quo. That's why the border was what it was. The fact that it was like we just accepted that we had to have tens of thousands of people showing up a day on our border, getting released into our communities. And we just allowed that. You know, I'm as sympathetic as anyone, and I really am to the you know, the guy who's here working on a ranch who is here illegally. I'm sympathetic to why he came. But at the point that it becomes tens of thousands per day, you know,
it
starts
work.
Turning into millions per year. It's like, okay, something's really, really wrong here. And that's what this country's allowed. That's what our government allowed. Our government allowed this. And finally, like I said, we're in a situation where the presidential administration is not allowing it anymore. They're not allowing people to pump, you know, just tons and tons of fentanyl into our communities.
Yeah, it's freaking sick. 250,000 Americans dying. Okay, we are with Brandon Darby. We are going to be back to do one more quick one with Brandon Darby and get kind of an update on what's going on. Before we get to that, let me remind you, Fred is sick. All right. And you know what's amazing about that? Fred is 4 years old and he's never been sick. This is the first time in 4 years. It's insane. Why? Because Fred always has rough greens. We sprinkle rough greens on Fred's food every single meal. He gets digestive enzymes and probiotics and vitamins and minerals and all that nutrition in his body, which he doesn't get from dog food. You want a healthy dog that lives longer? I have a 4-year-old that's sick for the first time. A healthy dog that lives longer is at your fingertips with Rough Greens. Get a free jumpstart trial bag, 833-33-MY-DOG, or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, back with Brandon Darby of the Cartel Chronicles. And don't think you're going to somehow get a rise out of me playing ABBA, Chris. ABBA is always welcome on this show, sir. And there will be no ABBA disrespect allowed on this show. No, it's not gay. You know what? We're going back to Brandon Darby. Brandon Darby joins us. Okay, Brandon, you're down there on the border. Donald Trump has obviously declared war on these cartels. You're ecstatic, which makes my heart swell up. What is next? I know there are 500 members of the 10th Mountain at Fort Huachuca in Arizona. It sure seems like there's more coming. What is it?
What I think we see is I think that Mexico does a joint operation with the U.S. to give us El Mencho from CJNG, the Cartel Jalisco, the breakaway from the Sinaloa that is now taking over Mexico. I think they give them to us, or I think that we see the U.S. get him either through, you know, special forces, but possibly even a drone strike. I think we know exactly where he is. I think it's safe to say we do know exactly where he is. And I think that we get him one way or the other. I think that's what comes next. I think if we do it without Mexico, I think it turns into a major incident. But I think that's what we see next.
Okay. Now, this is not me complaining, just so we're
Mark
clear
my
about
word.
That.
Del Mento.
What happens after that? Because that doesn't, obviously, I want him to. But that doesn't eradicate the cartels, right? It creates a war for power, but it doesn't eradicate the cartels. Is that kind of the plan, do you believe, to just keep sniping off the heads and then let them kill each other?
Well, look at the Gulf cartel, and we've talked about this before. In some ways, in the short term, it creates more danger, right, and more violence because we took out the head of the Gulf cartel. Then there was multiple factions of the Gulf cartel. We've been taking out the heads of those factions. And now there are, again, this is not a cartel that has a lot of national power. It has regional power in Tamaulipas, south of Texas, right? South of Brownsville, all the way to, Zapata, Texas, really. Now they are a bunch of disparate, glorified gangbangers who have a whole lot less political power and can do a whole lot less damage to the United States because they are a bunch of gangbangers. And I think what happened in Sinaloa, we took out the head, a bunch of factions revolted and started being, and they're fighting each other. They're losing their power. I think that over time, we're going to take out head after head after head, and eventually they're going to become a bunch of glorified gangbangers who can't do much and have a very limited national power. With Cartel Jalisco, they have a lot of national power. They're very closely tied to the current Secretary of Defense for Mexico. So people in the presidential palace, written about that extensively on Breitbart, Texas, about the ties between their Secretary of Defense and Cartel Jalisco El Mencho. And what's going to happen is he's going to get taken out, and then his cartel is going to fractionalize, and then they're going to get taken out, and they're going to fractionalize, and there's going to be 13 people to take out, and we're going to do that. And then they're going to turn into a bunch of street gangs, much like what's happening to the Gulf cartel.
El Mencho. I need a sweet nickname like that, too. Gosh, that sounds sweet. I got to come up with something. Brandon Darby, go read everything he writes at Breitbart, and congratulations, my brother. Well done. I know you're in their ear, and I'm glad you are. Good job. Appreciate you very, very much, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Have you ever heard Brandon Darby that happy in your entire life, Chris? I haven't either. He texted me the other night. He never texts me, that kind of stuff. We text and we talk, but he texted me about the cartel guys, and I've never seen that kind of exuberance out of him. He's a very even-keel guy. What, Chris? I went to community college. I can use words like exuberance. Do you want me to explain it to you, what it means? You probably don't know, but my community college was fully accredited. Was yours? Probably not. Anyway, we still obviously have very, very bad people all over the United States of America. I don't have to tell you that. Homegrown and foreign. And, look, we just had a big meeting in Congress today with all these sanctuary cities. We still have, in blue areas, we have governments dedicated to protecting violent people. So what do you do? And more importantly, what do you do when your daughter goes off to college in one of these areas? When your son leaves? What do you do when your mom's there, your dad's there? What do? You get a burn-up pistol launcher to protect yourself, and you get them one too. It is not a gun. It's non-lethal. It's a pistol launcher. We're talking tear gas rounds or pepper balls, or they even have these hard, straight hard plastic ones called kinetic rounds. Get one. They're legal everywhere. All 50 states, you don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. If you're at the gas station, carry your burner. If you're asleep, a burner beside you, a burner in your car. BYRNA. It will save your life. It has saved lives. I love these freaking things. Burner.com/Jesse gets you a big fat discount. Don't wait until something terrible happens and then say, wow, I should protect myself. Now. Do it now. Burner.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Do not forget, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, everything else. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I can't believe North Korea is halting tours to a border city of theirs. I got this. I'm sorry. It just makes me laugh so much. It's from Insider Paper. North Korea halts tours to border city near China. First of all, who's taking a tour in North Korea? Chris, what's wrong with you? Are you serious? What do you want to see? What do you even want to see in North Korea? You understand there aren't any beaches or anything, right? And you are aware, do you remember the Korean War episodes we've done, Chris? Are you aware of the weather in most of North Korea? You get that. And you understand, and this is, look, on a serious note, you understand that it's one of the most repressive communist regimes in the history of the world. Like it's on par with anything Mao did. It's just on a smaller scale. It's on par with anything the Soviet Union, Cambodia, they have concentration camps, Chris, now, where people are starved to death on purpose. Okay. All right. You just want to see if you can make it, huh? It floors me, the things people will do. Sometimes it just floors me. I think about this, and it's not that you ever want anybody harmed, but you'll read these stories about some couple or some woman will take some vacation, some backpacking vacation through some despicable African hellhole. That's completely overrun by crime. And of course she dies every time, dies or gets assaulted horribly. And you're saying to yourself, did you have to see Sudan? You understand that there's like a civil war going on there and famine and warlords. Did you need to see the beaches of Somalia? There are beaches in Florida. I swear on my life, there are beaches everywhere. Like, there's a lot of beaches. The Somali beaches are not particularly... What, Chris? What? See, you say it's not the view, it's the danger. At least yours, I can respect, because yours is more of a, I just want to see if I can stay alive. But some of these people, it's not. It's not the danger. They go to try to disprove that the place is dangerous. It's happened many times before. Yeah, no, I'm going to prove. I'm going to backpack through there. And these people are just like us. And her parents have to bury her fingernail because that's the only part of her they caught. Turns out they are not just like us at all. I'm trying to think if it was a couple or it was a woman. I can't remember. In Afghanistan, I remember it happened. She decided she was going to go through Afghanistan. I'm going to go see the sights. Just take in the sights of Afghanistan. Yeah, she took in all the sights of Afghanistan. Gone. Before I do a couple emails, I wanted to play this. DC Mayor Bowser, I don't know why, I grew up playing Super Mario Brothers, still makes me laugh that that's somebody's name, but DC Mayor Bowser said the old Black Lives Matter, you know, the Black Lives Matter Plaza, it's being removed. Of course, they can't say it's because they don't want to be associated with that commie filth anymore, but she said it's leaving.
Now DC Mayor Muriel Bowser saying that the name of Black Lives Matter Plaza will be changed amid growing pressure from Republicans. The mayor making that announcement just moments ago, saying, quote, the mural inspired millions of people and helped our city through a very painful period, but now we can't afford to be distracted by meaningless congressional interference. There have been efforts in Congress to force the district to change Black Lives Matter Plaza or lose federal funding.
I just wanted to bring this up as a little self-test, and maybe this will hurt what I'm about to say, and maybe it will feel good. I don't know. It's going to depend on you, but it's not supposed to hurt. It's not even really supposed to feel good. It's just a little test. Let me ask you, when St. George Floyd died and the American communist recognized it for what it was, which was an opportunity, of course. And none of these people cared about George Floyd. When the American communists recognized the death of George Floyd as being an opportunity to destroy so many of the things they wanted to destroy, how did you react? Now, let me pause for a second, because maybe right now, maybe at least on the inside, maybe you're navel-gazing a little bit. Maybe it wasn't your finest hour. Maybe even for a day, maybe you were online saying, yeah, black people are oppressed. Maybe you found yourself, I'm not a racist. My mother's black. Maybe you found yourself doing things like that. Or maybe you even participated in it. You're right. Black men are being hunted down like dogs. These police departments must be whittled down. I'm not saying this. I'm not bringing this up to make you feel bad about how you reacted. And maybe you held strong. You remember what I said? Maybe you held strong. I'm not saying it so you can pat yourself on the back. This is for the people who succumbed, even briefly, to one of the largest communist ops in the history of the United States of America. That's what it was. It was an operation. It was a funded, organized operation where millions and millions of dollars were spread around to destroy as much of this country as they could. If you fell for it then, you don't need to feel bad about yourself. We all make mistakes. Propaganda exists because propaganda works. It works on a lot of people. You don't have to feel bad about yourself. This is a reminder to you that be prepared for the next one, because there is always a next one. And just like COVID, and just like St. George Floyd, and just like all the other ones you can think of, when the next one comes around, the pressure will feel overwhelming to participate in it. What are you, some kind of a racist? They will make sure you feel pressure, because they want you to participate. Not even sit on the sidelines. That's not good enough for them. They want you to participate. Remember when the savages were walking through Washington, D.C., screaming at everybody, and they approached all those people eating outside? This happened a couple times, I believe. But a bunch of people were eating outside. A restaurant had this big outdoor eating area. And they approached all these people. And they didn't just demand silence. They demanded the people raise their fists in solidarity. And many did. Many didn't, but many did. And the thing we all have to remember, me included, the next one won't look like the last one. They change tactics. They change things like that. In fact, if you woke up tomorrow and there was another bad video of a black drug dealer dying in a city, and maybe some cop has his knee on his back, you wouldn't see the same level of propaganda for the next one, because the communist understands they kind of burn that one out. They're erasing all the Black Lives Matter stuff. The NFL even dropped the end racism that was in the end zone until about 5 minutes ago. That one they already used. That they're not going to do that one again. The next one will be different. And I don't know what it'll be about. I have no idea. They're not going to do the same thing again for the same reason. But they will absolutely run another op. And if your eyes can't see it, if you don't understand what they're doing, then you will once again succumb to the pressure. And you will, if not be silent, you might even find yourself participating in the next one as well. Always be aware. The communist is constantly prowling around looking for new opportunities to push the revolution forward faster and further than he currently is. He wakes up every single day marching forward. Gobble up this, gobble up that, little bit here, a little nibble there. Every single day he wakes up wanting to do that. But he is always on the lookout for something that he can use to go after your values, a way to use your values against you. And that tender heart of yours, because at least I hope you don't want black people beaten up or oppressed or anything like that. I hope that's how you feel. Anyway, that tender heart of yours, he can see it a mile away, and he will use it again the next time if you let him. Just a little gentle reminder, be on the lookout for the next communist op, because there's always another one coming. And if you would like to steel yourself to ensure that you don't participate in the next one, there are two things you really should be consuming. The United States Constitution, for one, for sure. By the way, Hillsdale College is offering a free course on that. Constitution 101. Go learn more about the Constitution than anyone else. And if you understand what's in it, you'll find yourself more prepared to defend what is right. And Bible. You know, Hillsdale College, they are offering a free course on the stories from the book of Genesis. Wouldn't you like to understand a little bit more about things like Moses and things like that? Wouldn't you understand, Noah, things like that? Wouldn't you like to understand that a little bit more? Wouldn't you like to understand all those amazing stories, the context around them? Hillsdale College will teach you that for free. More than 40 free online courses from Hillsdale. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, and we will be back tomorrow for a Thursday. Now, before I get to a couple emails, I wanted to clear up something really quickly because there's a story out on the AP you may have missed, and the story is Colombian police catch a man smuggling packets of cocaine under his toupee. This is not a story about Colombia. It's not a story about the cartels or cocaine or anything like that. Gentlemen, this is about your toupee. Everyone can tell, all right? I don't know if there's a worse way to smuggle your drugs than under a toupee. You know why this guy got caught? Because everyone was looking. They saw him. You know what? This guy might as well have just tried to walk through the airport holding two clear bags of cocaine in each hand. That is less obvious than trying to put the cocaine under that little shih tzu that's on top of your head. Everybody can tell. Everybody. And look, maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, you're going bald. You don't have a right to lecture anyone on hair. No, that's where you get it wrong, you see. You can't control whether or not you go bald. You can't. Look, I can't help it. It's hereditary. Plus, my T levels are so high. It's just the bottom line. I mean, courtesy of Chalk's male vitality stack. We'll get to that in a minute. But you can't control whether or not you go bald. You can control how you handle it. And there's only one way to handle it. Let it go. Let it go. Buzz it down. Don't try to comb it over. Don't try to throw a toupee on there. Don't try to dye it. And I know what you're thinking right now. No, I'm dyeing it and no one can tell. Everyone can tell. I've actually seen billionaires. I actually saw Mark Cuban. I saw pictures of Mark Cuban, that commie scumbag. I've seen several pictures of him. Now, this is a billionaire. God only knows the kind of hair care he can afford. Everyone can tell he dyes his hair and it looks terrible. It looks terrible. What, Chris? What? Do I think I would have had better success hiding it under a bald cap? The drugs? Would he have had better success? Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, anything would have worked better than the toupee. Because the thing is, everyone looks at you and automatically, it's almost like a human instinct thing. You know how women have much better intuition than men? I always will believe God gave that to them because they're smaller and they're weaker. And so you need to be, it's like a deer. A deer needs to be able to hear well and things like that. Women have really good intuition about who's a creep and who's not a creep. My wife always knows long before I know. In that same way, human beings have an intuition if something with your hair isn't natural. They know. You hide it under your toupee, not realizing people will look at you. They don't even have to be looking at the top of your head. They'll just instinctively know there's something on there that's not right. Wait, that's what it is. Just take it from me. I'm being honest with you. I know aging can hurt. I get it. You're not 25 anymore. You're not 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I understand. Just let it go. All right? The toupee? Look, this guy's going to a Colombian prison. And it's really not because of the drugs. It's because of the toupee. It was the toupee that sent him there. And I hope he realizes that. Now, do you want to have high enough T levels that you don't care when you go bald? Chalk is here for you. All natural nutritional supplements. Everyone knows about the testosterone crisis. It's well known by now. The country's lost half its testosterone levels in the last half century. Question is, what do you do about it? Because how do you fight back when you're drinking estrogen? You shower in estrogen. How do you fight back? You just take a male vitality stack from Chalk. You don't go get a needle jammed in your arm, start rubbing foreign substances on your body. Natural herbal supplements will get you just where you need to be and fast. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days, courtesy of Chalk. C-H-O-Q, I might point out. And they have a lot more than that. That's just what I take every day, so that's what I tell you about. They have female vitality stacks and everything else. C-H-O-Q.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a gigantic discount on subscriptions. Go get one. Jesse, Trump campaigned on fixing inflation. He needs to focus on it. My friends tell me to be patient. I've heard about Greenland, the Panama Canal, crypto, girls and boys sports, the Gulf of America, plastic straws. What happened to making life better for working slobs? Look, okay, it's a fair point, but I will bring this up. It's been 6 weeks. I am not dismissing inflation. I'm not dismissing the economic pain you're feeling. And you're right that if it cannot be fixed, if the people do not feel like the economy is better for them by the end of Trump's second term, in fact, he has less time than that. Midterms are coming up in less than 2 years. If people don't feel like the economy is better by then, we're going to lose the House of Representatives. We might lose it no matter what anyway. And if the economy, if inflation is terrible or possibly even worse at the end of the 4 years, then we might lose in 2028. We very well might. I agree with you. I agree. He has to address it. He was elected because of inflation and immigration. Inflation and immigration. Everyone knew it. I agree. It's been 6 weeks. He's trying to do big things, reshoring American jobs, things like that. He even said last night during the State of the Union, there might be a little bit of short-term pain. I'm not dismissing your anger about inflation. I'm not. I'm not even giving you the be patient thing, but if he fixes it in 2 years, we'll be okay. If he doesn't, we won't. It's just that simple.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Japan puts the world's most accurate clock on sale for $3.3 million. Apparently, it's called the Aether clock. One, is that not the most Japanese thing you've ever heard in your life, that it's the world's most accurate clock? Two, do I really get a $3.3 million advantage in any way if my clock is a microsecond more accurate than your clock? Pfft, huge waste of money. Germany set for massive rearmament as a divide with U.S. widens. Hey, Chris, Germany's arming up again. Headline, U.S. sanctions Houthi leadership after reimposing terrorist designation. We not only have decided the Houthis are terrorists, we've got aircraft carriers rolling that way. Right about now, if you're a Houthi terrorist listening to the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show, which you can download on Spotify, iHeart, and iTunes, right about now would be a good time to end your terrorist ways because there is some death coming your way. I will be back tomorrow to have a good old time with you. Who knows what tomorrow's news will bring, but we will tackle it together. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.